recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on the church. We're going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share the good news. A lot of people listen to me and Dr. Drew way back in the day. Well, you can find us again.
Still here after all these years.
So share with a friend. So I had a theory, Drew.
Uh-oh. Go. You've been thinking? That's dangerous.
I've been thinking.
Yeah?
So it's time. But now I'd like to include you in this group.
Okay. I'm ready.
If you're willing to be frank about your family of origin.
All right.
I see a lot of people, and I hear a lot of people saying things that don't make sense.
Okay.
And there's a path of logic that seems to be falling off by the wayside, and I'm always a little bit confused. Like, well, how would that adult person, educated adult person,
why would they say
have these draw yes. these conclusions?
Okay, go.
And then I started thinking everything. I started to sort of think about the people I knew, and then I also started thinking about how, as an example I use, which is, well, last year's Super Bowl, the New England Patriots, they have 5 Super Bowl rings, and they're playing Philadelphia Eagles, and they have no Super Bowl rings. And if you ask my friend Dennis Prager, who are you rooting for, I know what his answer would be. His answer would be, well, the Eagles, because they don't have any Super Bowl rings. Now, if you back out, I'm from Philadelphia or I'm from the New England area, that's how he would answer.
Yeah.
And I know how he would answer on everything, because it's just whatever makes sense. Yeah. Whatever's fair, whatever makes sense,
yeah.
Whatever that answer is. And then I thought, I answer the exact same way. And I thought, we have something in common, which is...
You and Prager.
Yes. And possibly you.
Okay.
Parents that were there, but not... doing a whole lot, just kind of letting you explore your life, meaning I feel like the people I know whose parents told them they could do no wrong have a lot of skewed, bizarre answers in life.
True.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
They have a weird approach and relationship with reality. Mm-hmm. The parents I know are the adults I know who's like when their kid got an F and their parents rushed to school to yell at the principal or whatever. That guy's a horrible adult. Who doesn't live in reality.
Yeah.
And then there's the bottom end, the people that were abused
right.
or, you know, ritualistically abused or sexually molested. They have no relationship
to reality.
With reality yeah. either.
And to be fair, you mean in terms of sort of their interpretation of historical moments and politics and things like that, they have weird experiences of these things.
You talk to yeah. these people and you go, I'm rooting for the Patriots. And you
yeah,
go,
yeah.
why? And they go, I don't know. I like to see them win another. And you go, this is playing a team that's been around since 1946. They got nothing. And they won last year. Yeah, I just like to see them win. Like,
so,
they have a weird yeah. approach. And so there's an abuse
yeah.
part, or neglect and abuse and whatever, that can kind of, a low end that can grate that. And
yeah.
there's, you can do no wrong version of that. And I feel like
we
got left alone a little bit.
We did. We did. The only place I wasn't left alone was in terms of education, and I'm grateful for that.
So, sure.
So,
yeah.
But is it the case that not only the excessive defending of the child, like the child can do no wrong, could also the excessive involvement as the parent create the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole helicopter parenting that
sure.
is so common today, it may not create the narcissist the way some do. You know, if a kid gets in a fight and they go, that little boy doesn't like my boy. He can do no wrong, whatever. That's the worst of it. But also just the helicopter parenting and just telling the kid how to behave and being on top of them and telling them what to live and how to live and what to think as opposed to developing their own ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I knew early and often that my parents really weren't going to do much and my life wasn't going to do much. And I got some sort of yardstick to try to measure what I was entitled to versus not entitled to or what was a realistic ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the sort of people that where you go, well, we're going to split the apple. how about you cut it and I'll pick the half, or I'll cut it and you can pick which half you like. To me, that's the most infinitely, who could disagree with that? But there's a lot of people like, I'll cut it and then I'll pick which half I want.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't like that, I'll stab you with this knife holding. And it's like, but do you hear yourself?
No.
Does that sound? And I feel like I've run into a lot of that on the top and the bottom.
Do you think the Pumas are mostly good or bad? Your personal belief?
I think humans are
capable of bad, but mostly.
No, I'm not saying. I think they're malleable,
yeah,
and will do good if they're incentivized,
okay,
and
yeah,
sort of push that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll recycle if you put a recycling bin by the door.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A lot of people that work for me, but most.
I think most people are sort of inherently will go towards the good. Not necessarily, you know, there's obviously exceptions to that, but people that behave the way you're describing have sort of a negative view of human nature. They sort of assume if they don't get it for themselves, you know, and they're sort of kind of like contained within themselves, not so much reaching out to the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. My theory is the over-involved parents or the abusive parents create the kids that have I'm not saying they're evil.
No.
I'm saying they have a disconnect with reality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like
And because they don't reach out to other people and develop any kind of dialogical relationship, they don't really change.
Right.
They sort of stay contained in their own.
Well, the change part is that part's out the window because now you just find your tribe and you go sit in the middle of that drum circle and no problemo there.
That's it, man.
All right, let's see. Someone has a question about exotic cars.
No.
Come on now.
Two.
It's been on hold for a while. All right, line two.
And then Ed. Then John.
Wants to talk to Drew about ordinary misery when we could have been talking about Lamborghinis and divorce. Prenups. Ed, 28, Chicago.
I wanted Ed to experience a little ordinary misery first.
Mm-hmm. I'm
exactly
poised. Here we go.
So first off, I got two quick points on this. I'm upper 20s guy, single in Chicago, and I know I listen to you guys, and Dennis Prager and Jordan Peterson, talking about the lack of the male figure growing up correctly. I know Corolla goes off of where he knows Lynette could always beat him up based off of just kind of how females are wanting that kind of male role, and how in 2018 we've kind of gone everyone's equal and everything like that. But I just wanted to let you know I'm starting to see that pendulum swing back where I see a lot of single, you know, my girlfriends out there kind of craving that need of that chivalry and kind of that traditional role where they're kind of over it and you see that. So I just wanted to make that point where I find it's kind of interesting now dating around.
Everybody – back to the diet from previous shows, but as much as everyone wants to turn everyone into a vegan, we crave ribs. Like, we all crave it. We talk a good rap, but ultimately, if you smell that barbecue joint driving down the interstate, you pull over.
Oh, yeah. So going off of what I love Drew's take of ordinary misery, and I'm starting to realize that we're also having a problem with ordinary loneliness now, especially with my generation, where people don't know how to be lonely and single at times, where we have this craving where you're on 16 dating apps, you're texting people, you can't ever be alone, and people will start conversations with people just to keep them busy and stuff. So I found it as a nice little tag along to ordinary misery where people don't have time alone anymore, and people kind of need to endure that to grow.
Well, there's a couple things. I mean, people have always, you know, people that work in mental health have always been aware that if you can't be alone in your own skin, there's a problem. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you need distraction or if you need stimulation because you're trying to regulate your emotions and you can't regulate them autonomously by yourself, that's an issue. That's something that's happening. But you're calling it ordinary loneliness, and I'm just thinking, you know, we were evolved in such a way that we're not really supposed to be lonely. We're supposed to be in groups. We might, you know, sort of be alone and be okay alone, but fundamentally there's not ordinary loneliness. And unfortunately, because we get attached to humans and one another, loss is a part of ordinary misery. And so ordinary misery is inevitable. So,
yes. Okay. Makes sense.
There you go.
All right, Ed.
Way to go,
Ed.
Appreciate it, guys.
Good luck, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, I think there's, like I always talk about, the people walk around, they got the bottle in their hand, or the, you know, the water tote. Mm. They're toting off everything. They're chewing gum. They got a coffee. They're vaping. There's always something moving up to the mouth. I think there's people doing that with stimulation. Can't walk.
Well, and the question is that coming from the phones and the computer and stuff, or is it just from the lack of good connection early on?
I think we are wired to want to hear those voices and have that connection
all true.
I always wanted that, but would go long periods of time without it, obviously, because of just the technology. I didn't have a smartphone or whatever. And again, find myself listening to the Bible Answer Man in my pickup truck just to hear some voices. You know what I mean? Like some dialogue, yeah, some companies, some back and forth. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was a full-blown atheist, and I wasn't being that stimulated by the Bible Answer Man. I was using the Bible Answer Man in my pickup truck like you put the radio on for the dog when you leave, you know, just so you can hear some audible sound, you know. So that is a craving. And once you then realize that, oh, I can take my phone with my podcast in it and walk from one room to the next room, then I don't like going into the kitchen for 5 minutes and turn around and coming back without bringing my voices with me. On the other hand, I got a bottle of water next to me that I seem to hit off of every 5 minutes for no good reason. What do you got, Drew?
I want to get into something for normal citizens before we talk about Lamborghinis, and that, of course, is true car. And some tips.
Sure, those Lambos.
Remove excess weight from your car to improve the mileage. Place the key fob under your chin to increase its range. These are tips you might not know. Another tip you might not know, true car and used cars. You may think of them for new cars, but you may not know that there are used cars with a true car certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million cars. You can enjoy real pricing on actual inventory. So it's true price, everything included. It's a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. You're going to see what others paid. You see that scattergram, so you know you're getting a good deal. And again, that price is on actual inventory, all things in. When you get there, you'll enjoy a faster buying experience. You'll have done so by connecting with the True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy new or used, check out True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Again, new or used, True Car, confident, easy, faster buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right. Now, exotic cars and divorce with John, 47. John?
Yeah, man. Get it on. Longtime listener from the early days of syndication. Love line.
Thank you.
First time caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys and what you do.
I'll thank you on behalf of Drew, who goes silent whenever there's praise.
Yeah,
lobbed his way.
Well, I figure
he dropped off.
I just figure one of us.
You're right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
So, what I wanted to talk—I know you guys talk a lot about divorce and the importance of the family unit staying together and how that affects children. I absolutely agree with you. So, my situation was I went through a long divorce, 3-year divorce, very expensive divorce. I had a daughter who was three, four, five, and is now six that went through this. And it was very difficult for me. I tried several times. I stopped the divorce 3 different times, tried all kinds of therapy to save the marriage, but I just couldn't do it. And I'm like guilty.
What was the issue? What happened?
You know, I don't know. We got pregnant once, and she lost that child long term, and that was very difficult. And it was like from that time on, there was just lots of problems, and just lots of problems turned into, you know, not to air it all out, but arguing, just lots of issues. And I could not fix or resolve these issues as much as I tried. But I guess the point I want to bring up that I think is overlooked and not talked about, as much as we all agree, and I agree with you, that to save the family unit, and believe me, I tried, and it cost me money to try, and I tried 3 times. The downside is the reform that's needed, at least in the state of Florida, and I can't speak for all states, but family law in the state of Florida, how a father who's a hardworking guy, a professional college-educated guy, has to fight and spend a lot of money just to get what's fair and equal, 50% custody of his child. And I think that's the point that's
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Well, I did an entire movie on this, John, and you should look it up. It's called Divorce Corp, and it talks about the
what's it called?
Divorce Corp,
like corporation.
Yeah, okay. it talks about the insanity of the family law system. You lose all your constitutional privileges. You have no rights. They look at how much money you have, and they essentially grind it until you have none left. It's just unbelievable. It's just a terrible system. It's a crony system, and it's less painful to stay married, it would seem to me.
Hear.
Well, absolutely.
Huzzah.
Yeah, huzzah. It's
less
painful.
Well, look, it's sort of our government at their ugliest. Mm. You know what I mean? It's lawyers. It's a crony system, like you said. Everyone just goes until the bank accounts are done. And once they're dry, then it's time to settle up and they can go to the same country club, both lawyers, at the end of the day.
And the judges.
And the whole thing's a goddamn mess.
Yeah.
And it's also, first off, there are many parts of it I don't understand. Like, there are parts of the law I don't understand. Like, I used to say, well, if they find more than 5 ounces of marijuana, then they get you on an intent to distribute. And I was like, they found it in your bedroom. You know what I mean? In a shoebox in the closet.
Yeah,
that's, you know, intent to distribute. And it was like,
this guy loves pot.
I thought they'd want, well, look, I had a roommate that used to go to Costco and get garbanzo beans in like the big 5 gallon can, but she didn't sell them. She just liked to keep stocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So something just popped in.
What is that?
It's crazy.
That was interesting.
Crazy music. So I used to say, well, shouldn't they have to catch you selling the pot in order to have a intent to sell?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, no. I was like, well, that seems like a weird part of the law. Yeah. And then the other part.
Another weird part.
I always thought was weird was that they're going to have the you get to live the lifestyle that you're accustomed to. Like, that was a weird one too. Like, there should be an amount. Here's what I'm saying. You know, my dad didn't have any money, so he wasn't on the hook for anything.
Right.
George Clooney gets divorced, he's going to have to pay them all $272,000 a month so that they can continue the lifestyle that they've grown accustomed to. Mm-hmm. But first off,
indefinitely.
Why is there a guarantee that you get to live that lifestyle? And don't we all know those who have been on top and gone down and come back up again or never came back up, or all the guys that were fat cats and then the Great Depression came around and now they went broke and jumped off the top of the Sears Tower? Like, why can't we just agree on an amount that it takes to raise a kid and then not to live in squalor in a one bedroom? But I'm saying, like, and then why is this you get half and you get to go on for it and then they get the custody? Like, it all seems nonsensical to me. Everything should just be completely case by case. Like, if he said, well, we met and I worked double shifts as a waitress to put him through law school and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And then if you've already established your career and you're a millionaire and you marry a 22-year-old waitress, well, then she doesn't get half because she wasn't involved or responsible for that part.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, she's entitled to a safe and comfortable life, but she's not entitled to live the life of a queen for the rest of her life because that's what she's grown accustomed to in the 19 months you guys were together.
Why can't we just have that generally in the economy? Once you hit a certain level, get accustomed to it, the economy guarantees it for you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, let's have the government work on that.
That'd be great. All right. Crazy. So, it's weird and it's I don't know. I think the problem was, certainly out here in California, I think we did what we do with a lot of things, which is a lot of rich guys were running off with their mistresses and leaving their wife to hold the bag and make ends meet and blah, blah, blah. So somebody said, we need to correct this, and yeah. maybe they overcorrected.
What I can't believe that when they did overcorrect, it has never found an equilibrium in spite of 40 or 50 years of ongoing legal wrangling. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is. And to be clear, when it comes to divorce, I don't think you and I talk – we talk about families and dads, but we don't talk about divorce because I do make a sort of a distinction.
Yep.
If you would like to be a part of your child's life, participate financially and emotionally and beyond with your child and do the best you could do to keep things, you know, copacetic yeah. with your ex, yeah. normal, get on a schedule,
yeah.
you know, I'll have the kid Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And well, whatever. If that's basic, here's a statement. Interest. Just basic concern and interest for the psychological well-being of your child. I got no beef with that. Yeah. If that's fine. I will at that, you know, first place is intact family doing many activities together. Runner up mm-hmm. is this. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm complaining about the homeless situation.
I get it.
All right, you get it. Yep. You got a call up.
Line one's been on hold.
Line one's been on hold for a long time. Hey, line one, Bennett.
Hey, Adam.
What's going on?
Hey, Drew.
37
hey.
Seattle. Hey. What's going on?
Hey, it's a little late, but congratulations to Gary. Is he hanging around in there?
He is.
Thanks,
he is.
Man. Very nice of you.
All
that's
right,
a pre-recorded message we have from Gary. Hit the button again, Matt.
Thanks, man. Very nice of you.
See, he just does it. I could go. I've been working out hard, but I'll tell you else. Gary's been working out hard and looking good.
Thanks, man. Very nice of you.
See? See how it works?
All right. Glad he's healthy. Well, little bit of a side note. You guys were talking about divorce settlements and child support. I don't know if you know this, but something that always bugged me about the Kanye West Gold Digger song where it goes, you know, got one of your kids, got you for 18 years, y'all be no punk, holler, we want prenup. A prenup can't actually get you out of child support, can it? I'm not sure if that – I wouldn't take legal advice from Kanye West, but I was just wondering if you knew if that was actually legally accurate.
Well, before recently, I did take a lot of legal counseling from Kanye West, but after seeing some of his performances on TMZ and beyond, I've since severed at least my professional legal relationship with Kanye. We socialize.
As your representative.
We still socialize. I've decided to move toward Gergis as a more sober – and thoughtful counsel. So I agree. I don't think it's probably not fair to dissect rap songs and take them literally, but I get what you're saying. And I'm glad that you listened that closely. Okay. So your question is, Bennett.
So I was wondering, I've just always had kind of a rough neck hair and sensitive neck skin, and I know that for people and more often for women, if they have like a problem area where they just don't like shaving a lot, they very often get electrolysis treatment so the hair doesn't grow back. And a couple weeks ago, I actually did I did this at a waxing salon where they said, well, you know, grow your hair out for a couple of days, then come in and then lie here and you'll just be in agony for about 20 minutes and then you'll be red for about a day. But that buys you 2 weeks of not having to shave your neck, and your normal beard and mustache will grow it normally, but you just don't have to deal with the hassle of
you're
that.
You're talking about your neck, and, like, is your neck sort of connecting with your chest? Is that sort of what you're talking about?
No, I never really thought about, like, waxing or shaving chest hair. This is more like because my neck and chin are visible all the time, and just sort of as a
you've now launched you've launched into a conversation about something that has nothing to do with what Adam just asked you.
Is your neck?
Oh.
Is your beard trying to connect with your chest hair?
No, not.
So when you're talking
I think it.
Okay, when you're talking about neck hair, are we talking about like down
under the angle of the chin?
Under the chin? How far down? Adam's apple?
Just to about to the Adam's apple. Not like a neck beard that connects all the way down to.
Okay, but so I don't get something. Most beards kind of go from the upper cheek down to that point, and then they stop. So what's wrong with just shaving?
It's sort of like
folks do.
Where the bottom of the chin takes an angle and then goes downward toward the neck.
Well, do you get a lot of ingrown hairs there or something?
Not so many ingrowns.
All right, hold on.
We're trying
a second.
To understand why that's an issue for him.
All right, Matt, you have a beard. It goes down to here.
Yeah,
Drew's not a great example, but I have a beard and it goes down, and Gary has a beard. So most of the men around here do. So I don't know what Bennett's trying to express. Is he talking about the back of his head?
For a minute, I thought he was meant the back of his head.
You talking about the back of your head, Bennett?
No. I'm talking about front neck hair. I'm talking about the part that you shave even if you grow a beard. So if you grow a beard, it sort of stops at the bottom
of
the part.
I get it. All right.
And you have
that happens.
Angle.
All right. And
what
it doesn't go.
You?
It doesn't seem to go down that low on you. I get if it like keeps going and it's just going down to the chest hair, but that's not what you're saying. So,
right.
What is the concern?
Why does it bug you?
Well, I'm just wondering. I've never heard of a guy who got sick of shaving their neck every day and decided to get. Well, I'd never heard of anybody getting.
All right, hold on. Gary has done this. Yes.
Yeah, on my back.
I did
laser though, right?
Yeah.
I did a laser.
He's talking about electrolysis.
Laser on my neck to try to stop it and it from getting ingrown hairs.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. They just got ingrown when they came back.
But you have to do a series of.
Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah.
I did it three. I did three treatments and it's not completely gone, but it was a measurable difference. And it does not hurt that bad.
No. Well, not on your back. Try if you do it on your Adam's apple, you'll feel it.
Your
back's
nice
a little better.
But Ben, get laser. It's no big deal. If it really troubles you, get laser. It's simple.
But you have to get a series.
You got a series.
Gary, was yours a laser?
Yes, it was.
How many series have you had?
I think I did three, and they told me I would need three more.
Yeah,
you
have to do like six.
You have to do them 6 weeks spaced
apart.
This
is the flash laser, right? The square.
I went over to your friend over in Santa Monica.
Jamie, yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. I have ass hair, but I don't have back hair.
Well, it kind of crawls up from your ass a bit.
It does, but not really. I don't have back or shoulder hair.
You got leg hair. Got ass hair.
I got leg hair, but not an excessive amount of leg hair.
You're like Pan.
And I have, I don't have excessive amount of.
Half man, half goat.
I don't have, how dare you call me a, is it a centaur?
Centaur is actually a four legs.
You're
Pan. You're the two legs.
I'm Pan. Yeah. Oh, and I play the flute.
Yeah, strangely enough.
That's right. I saw Hercules. I have, I have ass hair. But I don't have any hair past my elbow up. I don't have like shoulder hair or back hair or anything. But I do have ass hair.
This is the most comical thing that God ever did to you, though, is the ass.
The ass hair.
Yeah.
It lathers the soap up, though.
But it's a continuous challenge every time you do.
Oh, yeah. It's always a challenge, an ongoing challenge. Drew, you are one of the least hairy guys, I think.
Especially, I have a fair amount of body hair, but especially my arms are.
I've never seen a guy.
Yeah.
If you see Drew's forearms, he does not possess hair.
I wonder. You know, I spent a ridiculous amount of time in the sun when I was a kid. If I sort of burned the follicles or something.
Yeah, well, you'd know better than me. I'll tell you about LifeLock. Recently, hackers accessed a smart thermometer at a casino to get private details from the database of high rollers. You see these people? They go everywhere. They do everything. And they're going to disrupt your life. And once your credit gets screwed up, good luck unringing that bell. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. You don't need that. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices. Things you can't see, things you can't fix on your own. You need protection. It's 2018. You're going to hear more and more of these stories. All you have to do is turn on the news. It's Russia this and hackers that. So you're not going to have a problem if you have LifeLock. But if you do, their agents will work to fix it. They're the best. They're LifeLock. Right, Drew?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
All right. Lisa's been on hold for a while. Lisa?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Hey.
She lives in my favorite place.
Laguna Beach.
My favorite place.
Mm-hmm.
It is my favorite place. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
my favorite
place. Your parents had a place.
Well.
Was that out there? Or
now,
was that?
Now it's mine. My
yeah,
sister owned it.
That's
yeah.
I did the past tense. Had. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Lisa?
Yes.
You're in Drew's favorite place. Let's talk.
I am. And it's so fabulous. I'm looking at the ocean right now. Mm. Really great. Windy. Anyway, so the reason I'm calling, I have a question. And the question is generated from the conversation or the story that you were telling, Drew, about the skunk.
Yep.
And your dog.
Yes. The house just started smelling a little better. The mm-hmm. dog got better fast, but the house went forever.
Oh, it is brutal.
I know.
It's brutal.
I know. So what's up?
So it brought up this question for me. So I once lived in Northern California. I had two dogs. They were getting skunked often, and one was always getting a direct hit, had to deal with that. And, I mean, it is noxious. I can't say it.
Yeah,
noxious. mm-hmm. And just, you know, give you a headache. And it would last. You couldn't get it out of your sinuses.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, yeah.
Doesn't go away.
Yep.
So I remember that. And then, Drew, you're sharing your story. And I thought, what are, you know, and then Adam's, like, talking about the nature thing. I said, what the hell's in those anal glands? So I Wikipedia'd it, and I found out that a large component of that is sulfur.
I think sulfur seems to be the root of all smell is sulfur.
Bad smell. Methane and sulfur, yeah. But it's that the disorienting quality of it is what I found bizarre. It literally, like, you're, like, confused. It's like disorients you.
But your question was that you believe it made you allergic to onions?
So, yes, and that dizzy feeling is what happens to me now when I eat onions, and that allergy started about the time that my dogs were getting skunked. I grew up eating onions. I lived in Georgia. I ate Vidalia. You know, I was like lots of onions in my history. So, anyway, I don't know if there's a connection, but I really wanted some validation about the sulfur onion thing and how it can make me feel really disoriented and headachy.
It makes me wonder more if that's a condition response.
Yeah.
Like it's because when I have alum allergies and that ain't the way it manifests. It manifests with bloating and abdominal pain and that kind of thing. It just doesn't digest properly.
You said alum?
I think it's what's in the onions and garlic.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd kill myself. How are you?
I know.
I mean, I would have done it a long time ago.
I know.
But I was literally at the other shop earlier today, and one of the folks is eating lunch there, and they're picking out the onions, the green onions, the scallions, and whatever.
You're
getting bloated just hearing
people.
This. And when I walked by, there was just a big pile of them sitting next to the Chinese food. I was like, what's going on with this? I was like, I got to pick them out. I was like, boom, like a pitchfork, and just shovel them right into my mouth.
It's terrible.
I got no problems. Oh, my God. Can't get enough of those onions. All right, so I agree with Drew. Probably psychosomatic here,
or both.
A connection, a feeling, you know.
Because it is so powerfully conditioning, the experience of the skunk smell.
Yeah.
Is just
no, I agree. Every time I smell cut grass, it's Pop Warner Football, 1973, doing push-ups, Mr. Fitzgerald screaming at us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
boom, I'm back.
I'm there.
I'm on the ground.
And smells do that.
I agree. And let's move on to happier times with Hims. 65% of men start losing their hair by 35. And I've known some people who's gone a lot earlier than that. For Hims.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits, no. And we got a deal. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims, H-I-M-S, for just $5 while supplies last. Would cost hundreds at the pharmacy. I talked to these guys. I was like, yeah, I remember when I was young and I didn't have a doctor and I didn't have insurance. I could have used you guys. 4hims.com/ADS forhims.com/ads.
And I'm looking up onions. There's a lot of sulfur in onions, and I understand why she would make it is alums, what I was talking about. Yeah, allyl sulfur. And so it's interesting, her theory. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you cut an onion, you cry.
Yeah.
You cut a mango, you don't cry.
Wow, profound.
It's powerful. No, I mean, what is there any other vegetable where you cut, you literally tear up?
Yeah.
I mean, like you would if the skunk sprayed you.
Cut cheese.
Cheese?
I know it's not cut fruit, the cheese. Technically, you know. It's
polish
you can cut, make
well,
you
how
cry.
About beans, the magical fruit?
That's right. It's polyphenols in the onion, which are good for you. So
I just had a bushel full. All right. Live show, Gore Theater, coming up Cleveland, Ohio, May 17th, and Royal Oak coming up after that on the 18th. That's outside of Detroit, Rock City. Go to amcroll.com for all the live shows. Check out the big podcast with Shaq. He's always mixing it up with celebrities, talking pop culture and everything else. And you can check that out at podcast1.com. And you can go to chassis.com. CHASSY. Lots of good offerings there. What do you got, Drewski?
Drew.com. Check out Philip Stutz. Me and he are getting at it. And This Life and the Opium series there. It's picking up, man. We're getting to the modern era. If you want to know how we got here, read that series.
So until next time, man. I'm Crow for Dr. Saint. Mahalo.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars. Because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money.